What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 405, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out and gives us a little kickback, of course. And my co-host, as always, is Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. Just keep an eye on the weather. We've had some storms around here lately, so just keeping an eye out, making sure things are good, but I think we'll be all right for tonight.
Yeah, you were saying you were like, you had really nice weather and then you had snow.
Snow?
Yeah, isn't that what you said?
What?
You said no. The other night you got like an inch of snow.
No, what?
I swear that's what you texted me the other night.
You're smoking something.
Probably I've been so busy because I'm getting ready
for this program. Oh my gosh, no, we have not had snow. We had storms and stuff.
Okay, storms, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, no, talking about Amazon really quickly, it's like PC Gaming Week.
Oh, really?
On Amazon. So there's a ton of stuff on sale.
Nice.
If you guys are looking for anything. And like a lot of companies sent us out emails last week about all the stuff that like they're going to, like Thermaltake sent some stuff out. I know like Asus, MSI, they all have stuff on sale.
That's weird. I go to Amazon and I don't see it like... It's just like not hit me.
It's not. But if you go here, like I'll bring up Amazon real quickly. Let me go to the deals section.
It's always a good time to buy computer parts, right?
Yeah, but it's kind of cool that they had like a PC game.
Right.
Dedicated called. Yeah, but it's like PC Gaming Week. But yeah, like here's you. If you go to just like the deal section and you just select computers and accessories, like you can see there's a ton of stuff. Like Intel processors are on sale, AMD processors are on sale, Asus has like a ton of stuff. And like typically, motherboards and graphics cards never go on sale, and there are some discounts here.
Cool.
So you have like a bunch of Intel stuff, a bunch of AMD processors, like the 7900 X3D. Is $391, right. And we have a story where you can get it not on even Amazon, cheaper. A little bit cheaper. Right? So definitely stay tuned for that. On the Asus side of things, they have a ton of stuff on sale. Like all these motherboards are on sale, power supplies. But yeah, it's all week.
Cool.
So if you're looking for something, see if it's on sale because Amazon doesn't promote it. I don't like I said, if you go to like the homepage, there's nothing. And like, they should know your history of like looking at stuff.
Right, what you bought. Yeah.
Yeah. They should put it up there, but no, it's not up there, but yeah, it's like PC Gaming Week or what, I forget what they're calling it, but lots of stuff on sale. So definitely, definitely go ahead and check that out. As always, guys, too, we do have our full show notes page here that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week, as well as links to everything. So if you want to reference back, or if we're talking about something and you want the links right there, then you can go ahead and get it all in the show notes page in the chat. Old man is here. Good to see him here. And he said, I wish the AM5 motherboards weren't so expensive. Yeah, I remember when AMD did that, when they start, they're like, oh, we're going to be the premium, and the boards start getting a little bit more expensive. But you can find some good stuff still, but still not as cheap as it used to be. You remember like motherboards were like 100, 120, 150.
Oh yeah.
And now it's like 329, 429, 529.
For like an entry level. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So times change, you know?
Oh yeah.
But we will start off with reviews, and we'll talk about a motherboard from Asus that I had the chance to take a look at. It is their, this is a long product name. This is the Asus ROG Strix Z790E Gaming Wi-Fi 2. I don't know if it's the longest product name that we've had as a product.
It's not terrible. Like it's, at least it's not like the, you know, Gigabyte has like the GA, blah, 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 you know.
Or... Yeah, and then they have the... You know, it's they always got to put how much VRAM is in, like if it's a graphics card. So like yes. Gigabyte's always one that does that. It's like it's the RTX 4090, Aorus Gaming something. You know, if it's a 4090, it'd be like 24G. Like they have to put it at the end. It just makes it so long. But this is part of the Z790 refresh with Intel's 14th gen processors. A lot of motherboard manufacturers went ahead and did a refresh on a lot of their boards. And this, of course, is a refresh of the original ROG Strix Z790E gaming Wi-Fi. This is the two, or like I said, the refresh. The big changes with this board, one, you do have an improved VRM. So the original board had the same 18 plus 1 plus 2 power phase design, but you only had 90 amp power stages. Here you have 110 amp power stages. So you're getting a little bit more power for that 14th gen processor, which definitely is nice to see. So if you are going to run a 14900K and you want to overclock that, you'll definitely have enough power. On top of that, you also get Wi-Fi 7. So we haven't done a ton of testing with Wi-Fi 7, but Asus sent us over some gear. So definitely stay tuned for that, because we'll have that in an upcoming review. Talking about Wi-Fi 7 and the differences between that and like Wi-Fi 6E and, you know, how you can take advantage of all of that. So definitely stay tuned, but you're going to get that with this board. Of course, you're going to get a lot of the normal things that you get with a Z790 board as well. Gen 5 on your graphics card, as well as storage. So you get a Gen 5 storage slot up here. It does have the beefier heatsink as well. If you are going to run unheatsinked Gen 5 storage, they have you covered there, but you have four more M.2 slots. So you have 1, 2, and then 3 and 4 down here, and those are all Gen 4. So you could load this up with 5 M.2 slots.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And you wouldn't have to, you know, you wouldn't have to install any SATA drives if you don't want to, but there are 4 SATA ports if you want to do that. This also supports DDR5 memory up to 8,000 megahertz, which is crazy amount of speed there. You know, you have all of the kind of niceties that you would want on an Asus board here as well. One of the biggest ones is the Q release right here. This button right here, it's right by your memory slots, as you can see. And what that's going to do is that's going to allow you to easily, you know, release the top PCI Express slot. And as these graphics cards get bigger, as our M.2 heatsink, which you can see right here, gets larger, pressing that release is always annoying.
Yeah.
And this just makes things so much easier. We ran this board with the with a big ROG graphics card, and there was no way I was getting my finger down in there.
It's almost impossible now without a solution like this.
Yeah, I think the thing that really set it over the edge was the larger M.2 heatsinks, because that's really where you would kind of press your finger down in there. So it's nice to see that. On top of that, you also get their toolless installation for their M.2 slot. So every M.2 slot has toolless installation. So it's just a little tab you kind of move over to lock the M.2. So no more tiny screws that you're going to lose anywhere, which is really, really nice to see here as well. So I definitely like that. Overall, the design of the board, I would have to say, like, I like this top part, but like, I'm just not a fan of this.
Don't like the chunky ROG.
Yeah.
I like it. I think it's kind of cool looking.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest fan of it, but like I said, overall, you do get some RGB lighting too on that rear IO cover, which I'll show you here in a second. And talking about the rear IO, you have a ton of USB ports. So a total of 12 USB ports. And most notably, you have two type C's. One is a USB 3.2 Gen 2. And then the other is a USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. And I actually prefer that. A lot of these boards, a lot of the Z790 boards, you'll find Thunderbolt 4. But the max speed you're going to get on a USB device through Thunderbolt 4 is only going to be 1,000 megabytes a second, whereas the USB 3.2 Gen 2x2, you get 2,000 megabytes a second. So I actually prefer to see that, and it's cheaper than putting Thunderbolt 4 on a board. So you save some money there as well. 2.5 gig LAN, of course. Like I said, tons of USBs. You have clear CMOS and BIOS flashback buttons on the rear IO, really easy to access if you need to, you know, access those functions, which is really nice to see as well. And then getting into the RGB lighting, all the RGB lighting that you're going to get is just some lighting right here on the rear IO cover. That's it. You have a bunch of headers, but that's it. Nothing else. So again, pretty toned down compared to some other boards that we've seen in the past. And of course, this comes with their Armory Crate software. One thing I really liked about this board with Armory Crate and Wi-Fi 7 is that you can go into Armory Crate and you can check the like the signal strength that you're getting from the Wi-Fi. So you can be like, oh, I'm getting bad, you know, I'm getting a bad signal here. And you can, there's this thing called Direction Finder, which will tell you what direction to put the external antenna like in to get the best signal. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So again, like a lot of people do have issues with Wi-Fi, you know, you in certain buildings and things like that. So this allows you to really pinpoint the best place to put that external Wi-Fi antenna. So it's really cool that that's built into the software, which I definitely like to see that. Overall, I think this board is a really great board. I didn't really find anything wrong with it at all. It has everything that you would want in the Z790 chipset. Like I said, Gen 5 for graphics and storage, a ton of storage as well. So like I said, 5 M.2 slots. You have all of the USB connectivity. And again, the 12 on the rear IO doesn't include all your internal headers as well. So you also have a USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 head internal header. You have USB 3.2 Gen 2 internal headers. You have, of course, USB 2.0 internal headers. I mean, you have all plenty. The things you want to connect to this, like yeah. All your webcams, all your everything. You'll have more than enough USB ports on this, which is definitely appreciated as well. Support for super fast DDR5. Yeah, like I said, there wasn't much I didn't really like about this board. I gave it a 10 out of 10. I mean, it has everything.
Sweet.
You know, it's $479.99, which we talked about boards being a little bit more expensive. But I think minus Thunderbolt 4, this has pretty much everything that you're going to want and a lot of features that a lot of the higher end boards have. In a more, you know, we talk about higher end boards on the Z790 line, you're looking at $600-$700. So $479.99 isn't horrible for this. And again, this is going to support, you know, your 14900K, 900KS. No problem with its power delivery and everything like that. So I really like this board. It's one, and I gave it a recommended award. So it's, if you're looking to do a 14th gen build, this is a board that I would for sure recommend. Build process is easy. And again, you have all of those sort of ASUS features that you won't find on a lot of other boards. So definitely, yeah, I mean, like,
the toolless M.2 is so nice because you got to have a screwdriver if they don't include one in there that's got a small enough tip on it to go into that tiny little screw. And then you got to like hold it in and keep the drive held down. Yeah. Like toolless design is great there. So,
and you lose those screws too.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
If
that screw goes falling out of or on the floor, good luck finding it because it's tiny.
Right.
But yeah, it's so nice to see boards. If you even look like even a few years ago compared to now, seeing the motherboards that just have all of these ease of use features for the builder is just so nice to see these days. And it started, I think it really did start with the integrated IO cover, right? Or integrated IO shield.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You know, we started seeing
that. I'm so glad that's a standard now.
And then, you know, it was between, like you said, like the M.2 latches or the Q release on the PCI E slot. So yeah, nice to see all that on this board. So definitely, like I said, if you're doing a 14th gen build, this is a board that you should definitely consider. So we'll move on from that to this desk that's right here that I built. And I've been using it for the test system and everything, but it's right here. It is the Odin Lake Standing Desk S450. And this is a fun one because I've been wanting to replace the desk that was previously there because it was just too big. And it's always interesting to see, you see all these desk companies, and for the most part, they are kind of the same. They use the same type of components, but like, how is this one a little bit different than others? It is very much like a lot of others, but there are a couple things that have really stood out with this desk. So with Odin Lake, you have the ability to choose three different desk sizes. I chose the middle one, but there are three different desk sizes that you can choose from. There's four different types of desktops. They're all MDF wood. They're like, even the white, like it's all MDF. This is not like actual like reclaimed wood. It looks like it is, but it's not. But all the desktops, you have like four different colors to choose from. And then you have two different frame colors, black or white. excuse me. I went with this exact one. So this, you know, the 55 by 27 inch size, I went with the wood top here, and I went with the black legs. So that's going to give you a, like a darker aesthetic, which I kind of like. It was a nice change. I've always had like really white desks. So it was nice. That configuration is $599. With a smaller desktop, it's $449. There's no difference in price if you choose a different color of desktop. It's all the same price. And there's no price difference if you choose a different color frame. So the desk size is the only thing that's going to make your price different. Putting this thing together is super easy. It comes in two boxes, one with the desktop and one with all your other parts. Here's all your parts. And then I made a time lapse that you can see of me putting it all together. You know, it took me about 25 minutes. I've built these before, but the instructions were really easy to follow, and it's super easy to go ahead and put together. So really easy to go ahead and do, which I definitely liked. And then the desktop itself, like I said, I really like this. You know, it does look like sort of like that reclaimed wood look. I wanted something, you know, something like that. The desktop is awesome. And it doesn't, if you've ever experienced a IKEA cheap tabletop, you know that if you put anything on it, it will scratch that desk. You just know.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what I use for our product photos. I have tons of IKEA desktops, and they get scratched all of the time. This has like a rougher texture, not like rough, but you can tell it's not going to get scratched, which I really like, because you have this beautiful desk, and then one scratch, and then again, you're sitting at your computer all day at your desk, and you're just going to stare at that scratch. I've been there. It's
especially on the white. Even if this did get a scratch, you're probably not going to notice it as much.
Yeah, you're not going to notice it as much. But you could tell it's just like more quality, and the thickness is an inch, and that's thicker than like this desk that I'm sitting at right here. It's a little bit thicker too. So it's a hefty tabletop. It does come with these two pre-drilled holes, one here, with the grommets installed. There's no option to get the desk without these holes. And kind of a little bit disappointed in that, because if you look at this, you know, if you did want to put a tower here, if you had like a bigger case, say like a Corsair
D1000 or whatever,
or like the 50
N1 925, or
yeah, like any larger case that's not a standard mid tower, even like the O11 Dynamics are like wider. If you want to put it back a little bit, it's going to run into this and make things uneven, you know, because it's going to sit on top of there. So that's something you definitely, you know, want to consider, I guess. And it was kind of bummed that there's no option. There are some other configurers from other companies that give you options to have these and don't have these. And there is a price difference too, but you can only have them. So something to consider. Here's a closer look, but these are really nice because you just like press down on this and move it over, and it allows you to route your cables. There is no cable routing with this desk. I bought this little tray that goes under there, and then I used my own clips that I have. They're all linked in the review if you want to use them, but you know, pretty easy to organize your cables if you are going to. I would always suggest getting a tray if you are doing a standing desk, because you want one cable coming down off of your desk, which is your power cable. That's it. You don't want a bunch of other cables. So, so here's what it looks like. Like I said, just my one cable coming off here. And it works really well. As you can see right here, just, you know, for our test system and everything like that, which is really nice. It's been nice to use. Of course, it has, just like all of these other ones, it does have the control panel. You get three presets, so you can set like a sitting preset, a standing preset. It does show you how high it goes as well. And one cool thing about this desk, it does have some protections built in. So if it's going up or down and it hits something, it knows that it's going to hit something and then it will stop. I've had desks where like, I just don't realize it. And I put it up and then it's like knocking stuff over. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. So this definitely, has that protection. It also has a weight protection. So it will know how much weight is on the desk. And if it's overweight, it won't go up or try to go up or down where you like break the motor. So, it has that there as well. Here's the desk at its highest setting. It definitely goes higher. I'm not the tallest person, but it goes higher than for my standing height at its highest point. So you do have a little bit more leeway too. If you are a taller person, here it is with our monitor on there. Looks really good. Like I said, it's a nice desk. And this is a 27 inch monitor for those who are wondering, but I think it's a really good desk. It's priced in line with everything else. I didn't mention it does have dual motors. A lot of the like $200, $300, sit stand desks will have a single motor, which means that they're very slow going up or up and down. And it's not really fluid. This is very fluid going up and down. It doesn't wobble all that much. Every standing desk that I've ever used at its highest point will wobble. Yeah. It's just how it is. The more stuff you put on your desk, the less it will wobble actually, because you have just more like weight on it. But there is a slight wobble, but not a ton. Here you can see me, you know, sitting there, and you can see our test system over here. It's worked great for me so far. I really like it. Like I said, as configured, as I reviewed it, it's $599, with prices starting at $449. If you compare that to like the big other brands, FlexiSpot E7, which we actually reviewed, it's this desk right here that I'm using. Same type of configuration with a darker wood, everything would be $554.99. And the Autonomous Smart Desk Pro, that's their dual motor, same size, dark top, would be $649. So I feel like the price is very fair there as well. Only things I didn't like is that, like I said, you can't get it without the pre-drilled holes. And you can, there's also no like desk accessories, even if they're not included on the original price. A lot of the other companies, FlexiSpot and Autonomous, they do offer like an under desk tray that's specifically made for that desk. I wish that Odin Lake offered something like that, some type of, you know, so you can just get it as a package. You don't have to go to Amazon and you don't have to worry about like, are, you know, will the screws that come with this tray, under desk tray, will it go through my desk? Like, you don't have to worry about that.
Or if like the frame underneath it and where you have to put the motors or the power supplies for those motors, like, are they going to be in the way of this tray that I bought? Yeah.
So it would just be nice to be a full process. But overall, I like this. This is our second product from Odin. Like, I have the chair here, which we also reviewed, which I thought was one of the best chairs that I've ever used. And this desk is really good as well. So if you're looking for a standing desk, this is one that I can definitely recommend, especially, like I said, this configuration. If you're going for the darker aesthetic, this is going to look awesome. So definitely check that review out as well if you're looking for something like that. We'll move on to Case Mod Friday, and we have a sick build here from Stuart over at GGF. The case is what does it for me. This is the what case is this? This is the Singularity Computer Spectre 4 case, which isn't like, if you didn't want to build your own sort of custom case like this, like the case comes a lot like this, which is really, really cool. Of course, Stuart put his own kind of deal on it here with all of the custom water cooling, the screen frosted here that tubing, shows everything.
Which you love.
Yeah, frosted tubing. I really like this color too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks really nice with it.
Yeah. Really, really cool stuff. And just like
is that Alpha Cool? Yeah, Alpha Cool water cooling blocks.
Yeah,
I didn't know it's not EK.
We'll be talking about EK, so don't worry. EK parts. And that's the sad part about what we're going to talk about with EK is they make great product.
Yeah, But like this looks great too. Like, I mean, I'm running an Alpha Cool Loop myself and I love it. So yeah. I think this looks really good.
Yeah, the club memory in there. What fans are these? It's like InWind, those are InWind fans, I think.
Like
the newer ones, maybe.
Like, yeah, because they had the little grommets in between the fans.
Yeah, but yeah, we just yeah, and there you can see the setup. What a setup, huh? Have that sitting on your desk?
Well, and that, yeah, that matching, that's that Asus mouse with the green buttons on it that match it. Yeah, it's,
that looks pretty sick. Have all your stats there in real time. Yeah. That's kind of thing. One thing I miss about my build is like, I have like the little, there is like a little stats in real time on the motherboard.
Right.
But it's like it just cycles between, and like if I'm playing a game, I can't just like look. I have to kind of wait for it to cycle through to like the GPU temperature. Yep. I guess I could put a screen in the back of the cave. Maybe we'll do a little project here coming up. Or something. All right. Yeah, do something.
That'd be cool.
Get a real copy of Ada 64 since last week we talked about.
yeah. Make sure you have a legit copy. Which you do. I know you had to.
Yeah. So. Yeah, maybe we'll do a screen in here. Now that I think about it, that'd be a fun little project. I feel like we do a lot of reviews and we do news, but we haven't done like a whole lot of projects. The last project we did was your water cooled build, was it not?
No, it was my server rebuild that I did.
I mean that was pretty recent. Ryan does all the fun building all and the stuff. Articles, we gotta come up with maybe when I'm on my little trip here that I have coming up,
come up with some ideas.
Yeah, come up with some ideas, and we'll get some stuff rolling here for different articles. I do think they're a lot of fun, and everything like that. But shout out to, of course, Stuart over at GGF, video for this build as well. If you want to see a time lapse build, he does really great time lapse builds. So check that out there as well. And real quick, a reminder. That we're still doing our Lexar Jump Drive P30 USB 3.2 Gen 2 flash drive giveaway. This is a great flash drive. And 256 gigabyte that we're giving away, 450 megabytes a second. 6 days left on this. So, you definitely have a lot of time to get your entry in, but you put in your name and your email. You subscribe to our email newsletter, and then there are a bunch of other ways you can get entered, whether it's following us on social media or whatever it may be. like I said last week, make sure you stay subscribed to the email newsletter, because if you don't, your entry when we pick the winner won't be valid. So just keep that in mind. But yeah, get your entry in, and then we'll be running more contests after this one as well.
Just a note on that build we just showed. Do you know how much that case is?
Oh yeah, it's like $3,000 or something.
It's $1,900. You can get a limited edition version for $2,500.
Yeah, isn't the limited edition all aluminum too?
It might be. I just pulled up the page.
Yeah, we covered that case when it came out, or at least I saw it when it came out. It's really cool.
It is very cool, but wow, yeah. I didn't realize it's gonna be that much.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think of all the time it takes to, you know, those. It's not like a mass produced,
no,
cheap steel case.
Right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we'll move on to news and the which I didn't bring up or put in the notes because I don't know what I'm doing today. Let me bring up the video. Is of course EK Water Blocks is the thing that we talked about last week. It didn't look good at all.
Right. Just at that point. Yeah.
At that point. And I think last week we kind of touched on it. Like with EK, it seemed like at least last week from the Gamers Nexus video, I'm trying to find a good place to stop. That's a good place to stop it. The Gamers Nexus video. I feel like their first video more or less was like, here's some speculations, and more or less EK is not paying people. That was kind of the gist of
internal and external.
Internal and external. They weren't paying suppliers, they also weren't paying ad contracts. it just seemed like some shady business. And it was one of those things where like, okay, there could be some bad apples in the company causing these things to happen. And we're waiting for more, you know, and we said last week, if it was just kind of a couple people, it could be something that's fixable, right? It could be, you know, and then EK put out their own like 2-minute apology video or something, which really didn't address much. And since then, Gamers Nexus, which this is a great video. It reminds me, if any of you guys are familiar with like CoffeeZilla, YouTuber CoffeeZilla, who does like really in-depth videos on like crypto scams and stuff like that. Like Gamers Nexus is like turning into that for the PC hardware world, like doing these. I mean, this is a really in-depth investigation into kind of what's going on. And we really appreciate it because it keeps the companies accountable too. Because we see all these companies, and just like I was saying, like EK is the biggest supplier, the biggest name when it comes to water cooling components. They just are. And their products are really good. So again, to expose them is a good thing because you don't want bad things happening. So in this video, which I suggest all you guys to go watch, it is an hour long video. So it's a long, it's not a short, here's what's going on thing. Basically it confirmed a lot of what's going on with them, not paying with them. Where's the money going? There's a whole money trail of where all the money is going. There's, you know, lots of shady stuff with that. Also really bad treatment of employees, especially the employees who were working for them in Texas. That was a thing. And, you know, the biggest thing is that this initially started from somebody posting, I believe, on Reddit or LinkedIn about EK. And since EK put out their apology video where they said they wanted to be accountable, they sent a lawsuit to that person who made that post. And I think that's the really bad thing with that is you want to work with, if there's some bad apples at the company, if these things are going on, you want to be accountable and you want to work with the community to kind of fix your reputation now that you have, right? And I think that's the opposite here, at least from what, you know, Steve's investigation and everything like that. It's that they're trying to get people to shut up about it. They're not, you know, they're not doing, like, they put out their video, which was okay, but then they sent like a lawsuit to somebody who made a public post about the company. Yeah. I don't know what you watched the video. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, no, it opened it up more. Like, I felt like you said with last week, we're like, okay, they had a response. Like, I was like, okay, well, let's see where this goes, right? It's not just going to be instant fix and everything's good. But then, like, the more details and information we got in this second video was just like, oh my gosh. I mean, EK is such a big company, and you look at these buildings that they have and these warehouses and all the like sub companies, you know, he had a couple times showing like you've got EK and then it splits off into all these sub companies, and like the ownership and leadership models, the diagram that goes up is like that Always Sunny meme.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he's like, there's lines going everywhere and this person runs this place and is also on the board of this one and they used to be here and do this. And it's just, yeah, you start realizing it's kind of a mess. And
it just seems like for such a prominent and good company, it's badly run. Yeah. Just like Steve said, like the people who should be accountable are like the owner and the CEO. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of hard after a video like this to really like, what can you do? And this video came out after the apology video. Mm-hmm. After EK's apology video, which do you think they even make that video if this video doesn't come out?
If they make the first video or the second video?
If they make, if Gamers Nexus doesn't make any video on EK, do you think that apology video comes out?
No, of course not.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, and old man in the chat said they threatened the guy with jail time, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's just a mess. And like you said, the top people have to be held responsible, right? And like Steve also mentioned in there, there's still a lot of good people that work there, right? It's not that everybody is bad and the whole apple is rotten, right? It's just, and I don't know what, you know, from my viewpoint, it's like the people that are quote unquote at the top just took full advantage of that kind of, and had, you know, whatever that led to, maybe a layer below them or something to allow some of these things, and whether they weren't being made aware of the culture or they just weren't present for it. You know, he brought up some, like one of the CEOs for the American company, like saying that person was only in the office maybe once a month, and they pulled up like their social media, you know, feed and stuff, and it's like travel at all these shows and everything. It's like, yeah, if you're always traveling and being at like events, you're at, you know, a PAX, a CES, a QuakeCon, a DreamHack, a whatever, like there's enough of those to go around for you to be gone all the time.
Yeah.
And if that's what you're doing as the person at the top, then you're not actually being a CEO, probably.
I did find it interesting that this person, this CEO was that worked at like head of sales at Swift Tech. Mm-hmm. And then EK is now making, or Swift Tech is now, they EK outsourced production to Swift Tech.
That brings up, I know we've talked about this. I was always like, how is Swift Tech staying around? Because like I feel like they don't launch any new products, right? It's like that brand, they're almost like a Zalman or something where they like just kind of faded away, and they used to be at the top. Like Swift Tech used to be the EK in the early days of water cooling. Like Swift Tech was number one, right? And it was just this brand that's like, well, I guess they're limping along somehow. I don't know. I don't know anybody that owns any Swift Tech parts. You don't ever see them in our builds that we show every week. So, you know, that's possibly one of the methods of how they were staying up is, you know, farm and workout to them. So,
yeah, but it just, like I said, do you think after this video, like, I think in order to gain back, because I think a lot of people, like you see it in the forum, like in forums, you see it on social media, people are like, yeah, like screw EK, like I'm not buying from them. I'm going to get a Bits Power. I'm going to go with Bits Power. I'm going to go with another brand. You know what I mean? I'm going to go with Alpha Cool instead, just because the bad reputation. And again, when things spread on social media and Reddit and all that, like that small community has a voice now, you know, with how fast things spread on social media. So like, do you think there's a way out of this for EK? Do you think they go under? Do you
like? I do think there's a way out of it, but it doesn't, again, like punish the people that like allowed it to happen. And that's being sold, right? Divesting themselves of the company and allowing that brand to be sold to another company.
Yeah.
And it, you know, and they leave, you know, they're just like, they walk away from it because at that point they're going to walk away with money and then just be done and not be held accountable for anything. Right.
Yeah. I think cause like the people who are at fault are like the owners, and like, they can't, like, you can't just like clean house. Cause like, that's who owns the company.
Right. You're like, we're going to get rid of all the people causing it. And they're like, looking in a mirror, right? Like,
yeah. I could see them selling the company or selling the company with the patents to to an Alpha Cool or something like that. But we'll see what happens. Like I said, they'll be at Computex.
I'd love to see someone like a Fractal buy them out, right? Like,
yeah.
Because I think those two brands would go, the design aesthetic and the quality.
And that's the thing up. That I think this kind of was out of the blue for us. We don't work with EK all that much. We've only done their AIO reviews. Like, we know some people at the company and stuff. And yeah, this was very much out of the blue because, like I said, EK is such a big part of the water cooling community, and it is the premier brand for water cooling. So to see something like this, and like, I mean, this, it's not like this hasn't been going on for a long time, not like a long, long time, but I mean, at least a while. It will be interesting to see what comes out of it. I'd say, I think the next big thing will probably be like, what's going to happen. I mean, people have to ask them, if you're like a journalist or a tech,
you're not just going to not ask.
Yeah. You can't just go to EK's booth and be like, what's up? Like, oh, here's the new products. We're not going to talk about it. You kind of have to. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they're going to, people are going to ask, and the EK reps just be like, yeah, we're not allowed to talk about it. I assume that's what's going to happen. But I mean, Gamers Nexus will be at, we'll be at.
I think this story would be a lot different if it didn't also involve non-payment of their employees and like social media, like influencers. So like, and content creators. Jace Two Cents, you know, made a video about it, and he had issues getting paid. Der Bauer stopped working with him. I think if this was just an issue where they were not paying like their manufacturing partners, right, and stuff like that, this wouldn't have even made it.
Because I think all the time companies that have cash flow issues.
Exactly.
You know, and yeah, but yeah, not paying employees is really bad, especially in this industry.
And then the abuse and everything of those employees, of working conditions and OSHA violation types of things. And yeah.
So I guess, like I said, it's something we'll definitely be following. This is the second week in a row we've talked about it. Computex is coming up. So it will be interesting to see what comes out of that. I'm sure Gamers Nexus will have a follow-up video at or after Computex, I assume. So, but definitely shout out to Gamers Nexus. They like such a great investigative.
Well, and what video did you say spent on making that video? It was like 40,000.
Yeah,
to make the video. So they put in time and money and resources, right? There's like I said, a whole section with legal counsel on there. Yeah, go check it out when you got an hour.
Yeah, it's episode. Like I said, it reminds me of a CoffeeZilla. If you haven't seen CoffeeZilla videos too, like these, he's like he does these investigative videos about like I said, the bigger ones have been like crypto scams or anything like that. And he's really in depth, and this reminded me of that. So so check that out. Sad to see, honestly, because you know, when we think of water cooling, that's like one of the brands we think and we've recommended to people as well. So but moving on from that, we have some crazy more discounts, and as I talked about for like the past month, coming through summer and through this entire year, you're just going to see discounts on PC parts. You're just going to see it, because we don't have anything new coming out, at least not till Computex or after. And then for the most part, especially on the graphics card side, not till at least the end of the year. So everything, you're going to find discounts, you're going to find tons of stuff. So first, flagship Radeon RX 7900 XTX discounted to $844. So that's their best graphics card, under $1,000. Yeah, $844. Man. And that's the power color Hellhound version. I mean, that's a card with 24 gigabytes of VRAM,
three fans, three slot.
Yeah. $844. It's a deal. That is a deal. So, so that's the one discount. And the other discount that we were telling you about earlier in the podcast was CPUs. You're going to hate this, Ryan.
Why?
Because the
available for what, 329, right?
The Ryzen 9 7900 X3D is discounted to 329. The 5700 X3D is 229, and the 5800X is 175.
I paid 329, I believe, for my 5800X3D.
Okay.
A year and a half ago, though.
Yeah.
So I mean, that was still a steal. But yeah, the fact that you can get the 7900X3D.
for $329. And these discounts are on Ant Online. I actually ordered, surprisingly enough, when the Ryzen 7000 series came out, I bought a 7900X from Ant Online. And I was like kind of weirded out about it because like I only buy stuff on Newegg or Amazon.
I feel like I bought something from them too.
I was so weirded out about buying it, but then it came no problem and it was like not an issue. You know what I mean? But yeah, these are all, like I said, we have the links for everything if you want to check them out.
I bought my 5800X3D from Ant Online on eBay.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So great prices. We talked about it also being like PC Gaming Week on Amazon. So, I mean, pick up one of like these are great processors, especially if you're a gamer. Get you in that, AM5 or for the 7900, the AM5, but even like a 5700X3D or a 5800X, great processors. Lots of connectivity on all those motherboards too. So yeah, really great deals going on, which is definitely nice to see there. Talking about Computex, Corsair did tease a new Corsair One system that could have the new Ryzen 9000 CPU inside. They have a landing page that says Corsair One i500 PC coming 5/6/24
with next gen components, right?
Yeah, and it says next gen components. What does that mean? A lot of people are speculating that means Ryzen 9000. We obviously are not going to see a new Intel processor at that point. AMD is giving the keynote at Computex. So we could see Ryzen 9000. Although, like I said, I feel like the 5000 series and 7000 series are fine. Like, for a lot of people, you don't need much more horsepower than that, I'd say. All the AM5 motherboards, their new BIOS updates include Ryzen 9000 series processors in the BIOS update. Yep. So we could see that. I'm all for new
and those are really nice pre-builts too. Like that
Corsair, this is the old one.
It's still the old one's great and nice. Yeah. And that design's been around for like, almost 10 years now, I think.
Yeah. I mean,
if it hasn't been 10 years,
this little picture that they have on the landing page it obviously looks different than the older one. Yeah. So we might see some improvements, probably thermal improvement as well.
Did you ever review one of those?
Yeah, I did. I reviewed.
Okay. That's right.
One that looked exactly like this. It was a great system. I always felt like it was the perfect pre-built for like the gamer who wants actual good performance and like actual good cooling. And it was like the size of like an Xbox. I mean, they're not
very big.
They might be a little bit bigger now if they're going to put like a 4090 in it because you need more space, for those type of cards. But yeah, the one I had was great, that I reviewed. So that's exciting. Corsair also, you reviewed the height thick Q60, which had really thick fans.
Yep.
Maybe Corsair was like, okay.
I know. We saw these at CES.
Yeah, thicker is better, So they have their new 30 millimeter thick RS Max series fans available in 140 and 120 millimeter versions.
Really nice fans.
Yeah.
Because I know, we saw these at CES. I don't think we could talk about them or wrote about them at the time, but they had them there and they were really nice 30 millimeter thick fans.
Yeah. So just for like, if you are doing water cooling or just want much better performance than your typical fan, these are going to be it. Obviously, as you can see, no RGB lighting. These are meant for performance, not for show. I would assume because it's Corsair, we'll see an RGB version next year. good to see some more performance focused stuff from Corsair. And not that their stuff isn't great, doesn't have great performance, but this is like super performance based, which is really, really nice there. Now this is something we saw 2 years ago that is just coming out now. We saw this 2 years ago at CES. Cooler Master unveiled their Advanced Cooling X all-in-one water-cooled system. It's a full system, $4,500. It's incredibly cool. And the cool thing about it is like the panels are actually radiators where like the coolant goes
passive
through.
Radiators.
Yeah. Do you remember seeing this?
Yes, I remember. And like we kept asking, like people were asking to look at it. And at the time it was like, I don't want to say clunky, but it was work to like show it off kind of.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yes, I do remember it because this is, we saw this at not this last
and it
CES
was, I think before, it was yeah. Because like we were at CES and like we were trying to talk, like the guy who was like sort of there to like make sure nothing happened to it definitely didn't speak English. And
right. And he was like the guy that designed it and built it type of thing.
Yeah. And I don't think he was supposed to open it up for us, but he did. We have that video. If you look at our like Cooler Master 20, let me see if I can bring it up real
2023,
quick.
2023. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see if
that's when they rented out that. Yeah. The,
if I can find it.
Yes. That one was cool. It's, you know, you're going to have a silent machine because it was all passively or, no fans in it or anything. It was really neat.
Let's see.
That was also the year they were showing off that big, like the shark custom.
Yeah,
PC
the shark
and the shoe.
The shoe.
What else do they have? Those are the ones that stick out to me in my mind.
I find the cooler video, but I can't find. I'll find it. Hold on. See how fast my interneting skills are.
Speaking of fast internet, the company that is putting in fiber put fiber in behind my house.
Oh yeah,
just like this week. So they're digging up yards and pushing it out. So I should have availability to it pretty soon here. I'm thinking.
Nice. So. You'll be yeah. It won't be lagging. So here it is in 2000.
You're not showing the screen.
Oh hey, I'm not showing the screen. There. So here it is. Yep. The Cooling X that just came out now. You know, and this was. At CES 2023. Do we have any more? So yeah, so the panels, and I don't know, but like see how there's channels built into each side panel, and in each side panel is like heavy metal, and that's kind of how it all went through. And I like see how like he was like trying to hold it open, but you can see how everything's cooled in there. It was,
I guess there was a fan. Okay.
Yeah, there's some fans in the front or in the back, and you can see all the water cooling stuff. Yeah, like, I mean, it was a really cool product, and it's cool to see it come out because we do see a lot of stuff, especially like Cooler Master has all these like weird like kind of fully built systems, and you never know what's going to come out and what's not, so it's cool to see that come out. Now the one that's $4,500, I don't know what the actual 64 gig, it's a 4080 Ryzen 9 7950X3D, 64 gigabytes of DDR5, 4 terabyte PCIe NVMe, Windows 11 Professional, all water cooled. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much the design changed.
And it's small. It's not big. Like this picture here makes it look a little bit bigger. Like it's like, again, like it's small. I would say. The footprint is like the same as like an Xbox. I mean, it's not big. But yeah, pretty.
That shot of us there sitting by the window and the table for our shots, it makes me want to do that type of setup again next year at CES, because we didn't do that this year. It was a lot of work to set up, but I enjoyed like that.
It was nice, but it was so much work at the end of the day. That was the problem.
Yes. Well, maybe we do less work during the day.
Well, to get all the content, you got to work during the day. But yeah, so cool system there from Cooler Master. So we talked about when Intel Arc came out, performance was like so, you know. Mm-hmm. And then they released. I was like, you know, a couple months after the cards came out, they released. A driver update, and it like, remember, like boost the performance of games by like 50%. You're like, wow, that's crazy. Well, it seems like, you know, the MSI Claw has been getting some Not great feedback. The performance hasn't been great. It is all Intel based. So again, it's Arc powered with the graphics card and Intel Ultra for the CPU. It got an update with new Intel drivers and it's boosted the performance quite a lot. Like if you look at these performance figures in some games like Cyberpunk, some great performance boost over, previous drivers and everything like that. So yeah, some nice boosts in performance that you're getting with just a driver update. Makes you wonder about the Intel drivers. Like, what are they doing? That like you're getting that much of boost in performance.
I mean, it shows that there's room for improvement in the software. So that shows you that the hardware is capable, right?
Yes.
Like they can keep, they, it's possible they could keep tweaking and get another 25% more, right? No. Like it's possible, I guess.
If you were to buy one of these handhelds or like if you had the choice of one, which one would you get?
I'd go with the Asus.
Yeah, I'd probably get the Asus as well.
It's just a little smaller, I think, than the Steam Steam Deck.
Steam Deck's a little thicker, I feel.
Yeah. I like the look and design of the Asus one.
But yeah, I like the Asus. I think I'd go with that. Although the Lenovo's cool with the removable things and yeah. Talking about gaming handhelds, Switch 2. Some new reports say it's gonna have a 1080p screen and fully backwards compatible. You assume that's going to be the case, right? You would assume it's going to be backwards compatible first, right?
Sure. Yeah.
in that 1080p screen, what's the screen on the current one? I know nothing about
the Switch. Is it 720?
I don't know. I literally know nothing. I think I played a Switch like a couple times ever.
Yeah, I don't really play ours. I just fix things when it's broken.
Yeah. Well, in any case, yeah, it seems like this is still coming along. When do you think
it's? Yeah, it's 1280 by 720.
Okay.
They're both. Yep, all of them are that.
Yeah. So increased performance or increased, I guess you'd say fidelity in the screen because you're getting. When do you think this is coming out?
I don't think we're seeing it until next year sometime.
Okay. You don't think holiday season?
You think it'll be that soon? I mean, maybe. I haven't been paying attention. Like, I would feel like if it was coming out this holiday season, like, you got to get that hype train started early, right? But there's no E3 anymore to like announce it at.
No E3.
You're not going to Computex to show this thing off. They don't go to.
Yeah, but I mean, they'll have their own online event, or maybe it's maybe.
One of our shows or stories, and they're just canceling their event.
Yeah, or maybe like it's one of those events where it's like, it's like an Apple event where like there's like it's live being broadcast from some place, and there's like a handful of news people and influencers there, and that's it. I would say that's when they would do it. Although, isn't like Tokyo Game Show still a thing? That's like a big.
Oh, no.
That's like a big thing. I feel like, let's see, Tokyo Game Show 2024. Tokyo Game Show, September 26th to September 29th. Announce.
I guess if you've got it ready soon enough, then sure, you can do it in September.
That would be the place to do it, I feel. If you were doing it at like an actual physical event that was not yours. Because that puts you right in line. You announce then. You crush all the issues that you have with it. Because there's probably issues.
Or you could do it at Gamescom.
Yeah.
Which is in August.
I think it's too soon. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think Tokyo Game Show would be where they would announce. But if that's the case. But like you said, it could be. We could be. End of 2025 for this thing. You don't know. So Oldman says, I know the Switch plays 1080p in dock mode and 720p. Yeah. Do you think that this could do 1080p handheld 4K
docked?
I mean, maybe. That's the next step, I guess. I guess I'm not really interested in it. It's always nice to see new gaming hardware come out. I'm always interested in it, just like Xbox and PlayStation. It's always cool to see, but we're not buying it. I'm not buying it. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see. We'll obviously keep you guys updated. We've been covering that a lot. Talking about events, Blizzard has canceled BlizzCon, which is weird that they did cancel it. Obviously, during pandemic, it was canceled, and then they had it in 2023. No 2024. Weird? I mean,
I don't know. Maybe, like, I'm back on the WoW train, so, like, I've been playing that casually, right, for the last couple months, and,
yeah.
But, like, I used to play Overwatch a bit, right? I think I've played Overwatch 2 one time. I just don't play it. I don't play any Hearthstone, but they've got enough games where they could definitely have an event.
And it's always, like, it's also still, like, you have all, like, the cosplay and all that stuff that, like, that goes on at BlizzCon. It's just, like,
it's so expensive to put those shows on.
Yeah, that's true too. I mean, it's not so like they expensive. Don't have money.
I know, but I mean, it's yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, interesting. Like I said, there is a 30th anniversary of Warcraft.
Yep.
This year. Man, we're old, man.
Not World of Warcraft, right? Just Warcraft.
Yeah, Warcraft. Maybe they cancel BlizzCon because they'll have a whole thing at that event, like at a like a maybe. Big Warcraft thing. Who knows? But yeah, that's canceled. Sad to see. That is it for the news this week. Coming up next week, Ryan's taking a look at a really awesome cooler from Deepcool that we did see this at CES as well. This is their Mystique 360. No RGB on the fans, but it has this really cool screen on it. So, yeah, pretty excited to see this one.
I like the aesthetic of the graphics is nice, right? It's not like you can pretty much put anything you want on these screens, right? Like we looked at the height one recently, but this I just like the professional look and design of the graphics and the pump housing and everything. So yeah, no, this one's cool.
Yeah, so we'll be taking a look at that. I will be taking a look at the Lexar Professional SL600. This is a portable SSD from Lexar. It's more or less their I think it was their SL600 Blaze that I also reviewed.
Okay, it looks very familiar.
It's legit the same drive, except for on the Blaze, this little section right here is RGB lighting. This is the professional version. And then the other difference is that this comes with their Lexar backup software built, like it comes on the drive. Those are the differences. Up to 2 terabyte. We have the 2 terabyte one, so we'll be telling you guys about that as well. In the chat, a pseudoscientist said, that they've been designing a PC case made of wood, motherboard flat with PSU and water cooler radiator in different area. That would be kind of cool. It is interesting to see those like actual wood builds, you know, and how they kind of come out.
I just feel like they would be so heavy.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Because you can't they can't be thin enough to, because then you've got to worry about them like coming apart or like
yeah.
How you take, yeah. So I couldn't do it. That's
yeah. I mean, yeah, just for
I can make one out of 2x4s, right? Like 2x4s and some,
yeah. I'm not good. Like woodworking, I don't think I could do very well. But pretty cool, to see that. We'll move on to the question of the week. Of course, it's a question. I am going on a trip. There will be no podcast, next week. Yeah. But, since I'm going on a trip and Ryan just went on a trip a couple weeks ago or maybe a month ago, I forget how long ago it was.
Yeah.
So the question is, what is some tech gear that you always travel with?
So I have, and I haven't had this for very long, but I have brought it on every trip I've gone on, even like weekend trips. I have an Anker 525 charging station that has two or three, I think, AC plugs on the back, and then a couple USB A and C ports on the front for charging devices, which is really handy. You don't have to bring like all these other, like a charger for my tablet and my laptop, right? As long as you got the cables to go with them, like a couple A and C cables. So that's really handy. I am starting to bring my DJI Osmo Action with me everywhere because it's so small and fits. And I'm bringing my 360 camera. I kind of think of, because it's small and fits and like is handy. Those are the ones that I, and then I have my, like just my thin and light laptop.
Yeah.
Is nice. Like I don't expect to do heavy duty work with it, but it's nice to not have to always be on your phone trying to do something.
Yeah.
And having that bigger screen to get some stuff done if you need to.
Yeah. I would say for me, biggest one, portable SSD. I do have the, like a GoPro that I always use, and I'm always like the smart person at the end of every day. If you're on like a week trip, I always pull all the footage to back it up. So like I get one of these like portable SSD, like I said, that one from Lexar that we're going to be reviewing, but those are always great just to back up stuff. Always have that. I also have, like Ryan said, like a charger. This one is like folds and you like unfold it and there's like, it's all MagSafe. So like there's a MagSafe for your phone. There's one for my Apple Watch. And then the other one is made for like AirPods, but like I just have other Bluetooth that has wireless charging. So I can charge all three of my devices right there. And it's so small, like it's smaller than a wallet, like when you fold it up.
Hold it up.
And it's just like, you just put that beside the bed, in the hotel and you're good to go. And then I have that like Belkin travel.
Oh yeah, you have that little router?
No, the power adapter. The little power strip. It's so small. I've had it for years and it has USBs. They're not like high power USBs, but it has like two USBs and then three power things. Okay. And it's like, it's not that big. It's very small. So I always have that because it just fits in the laptop bag and you're always good to go.
You mentioned like getting that data off at the end of the day. I'm the same way, because the last thing you want to do is like capture some awesome stuff day one and not back it up or get it cleared off of there, and then day two you lose that camera or something happens, you're like, well now I didn't just lose today's stuff, I lost today and yesterday and maybe anything that you had on there before that.
I was considering, so I'm going to Hawaii, doing a bunch of like hiking and different stuff, and obviously we'll be in the ocean, and I like considered bringing, I thought about bringing the Osmo Pocket 3 that we used at CES. Yeah. But I'm not gonna bring it. I'm just bringing the GoPro.
And one thing I do on mine is I always make a text file on the SD card that is like, if found, I name it like, if found, open.
That's a good idea.
It has like, hey, you found my SD or my device, and I name it unique for each device that it's on. So it's like, you found my DJI Osmo Action and SD card, right? Like, here's my contact information, like mailing address, email, phone. And then I say, hey, if you find this and get a hold of me and get it back to me, like I'll give you $100. Right.
Yeah. So like, I've never thought of that. That's such a great idea.
Yeah. You just spend 5 minutes, write it up, and then you have that available, put it on there.
Yeah. Old man in the chat said he bought the Raktuos RTK61B 60% wireless mechanical keyboard that he's using for his media PC. That's good. I got some interesting keyboards in here recently too. So we have a lot of stuff coming up once I get back. Some really cool videos we're working on. We're working on another build. We're doing another build coming up. This one is another one.
Heard about this one?
Yeah, this one has another one of those motherboards with the connections on the back. Only one other person is currently making those, and I'm sure you know who it is.
Yep.
So we have one of those coming up, which will be pretty fun. We have some other, this monitor. It's pretty fast. We have that. We have a lot of stuff coming up and a lot of videos that we need to do. But I'm really excited for this trip, to be honest. I feel like I need a break from everything. So definitely excited to just take a break. I am bringing my laptop, so I'll be doing, you know, we'll be posting news and stuff, but taking a break till next week. So we won't have the podcast next week. So keep that in mind. We might do a gaming stream next week, Ryan, you know, if he wants to play some games next week, do that. But beyond that, yeah, no podcast next week. And then we'll continue the following week. Again, every Wednesday for you guys here. And that is basically it for the podcast. Of course, Ryan's going to have the gaming stream up. I'm going to join him for a little bit, but I have to finish packing because I am leaving tomorrow morning. So we'll stay on there for a little bit. But Ryan runs that over on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. And that is it. Thanks for everybody in the live chat, Pseudoscientist and Old Man in the live chat. We appreciate you guys. And of course, everybody else that's listening live or listening later, we appreciate you as well. And we'll see everybody next week.